Broadcasting live, it's America's longest-running national radio talk show on computers, Computer America, hosted by national columnist Craig Crossman. Look for Craig's weekly column in favorite newspaper. This show is being beamed nationwide at ComputerAmerica.com. Keep it here for technology news, computer products, guest interviews, and your phone calls. You're listening to Computer America.
Hello, and welcome into the Computer America show. It's the nation's longest-running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. Computer America's heard around the world and coast to coast. And I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
And I'm your co-host, Ben.
Buying a used car these days is not as simple as it used to be. I mean, there are so many more alternatives than going to a used car dealer like we used to. And, you know, and of course, with a new car, there are some dealerships like the Tesla that are bypassing the middleman, if you want to speak.
Exactly.
And they're allowing people to go into a store like in a mall to see the car, but then you purchase it online. I mean, as with any other industry, technology is changing the face of how we used to do things. I mean, whether it's buying records in a record store. I mean, when was the last time you were in a record store, Ben?
I don't know the last time I've ever bought a record.
Exactly. I mean, technology is changing the way we do so many of the things that we just a few years ago. I mean, it's a very rapid change. There are things that we're now doing that just a few years ago was just either unthinkable. And this is certainly affecting the car industry as well. So joining us to talk about maybe what a car dealership of the future might look like and other assorted topics that kind of relate to that is Ben Spadafora. Ben is the National Director for Car Cost Canada. Ben, welcome back into Computer America. How you been?
I've been pretty good. Thanks for having us tonight, and it's great to be with both of you.
Okay. Oh, I like the little logo in the back there.
Yeah, a little bit of commercialism.
Now, I know you're back again. You were on the show a few months ago talking about Car Cost Canada. And just quickly, just for the people who might have missed that particular program, tell us a little bit about Car Cost Canada itself.
Sure. So we have a retail website, and we attract new car buyers. And what we provide is what's called a wholesale price report. Mm-hmm. So it's all done online. And at the end of the day, what you're going to get is you're going to get a price report that shows the MSRP, but more so you're going to show that dealer cost. In other words, what that dealer paid the manufacturer, and included in that report are the incentives. And sometimes incentives are not advertised, like dealer cash or past model allowances, that sort of thing. There's a lease and finance rate, and in many cases, there's also a dealer referral. And again, that's all online.
Wait a minute. Now, you're saying to me is that we now as consumers can get to see what the dealer is getting for the car? I mean, what they actually pay for a car, and we can see what the profit, what profits are being tacked on? I mean, this all used to be ultra high secret. You never knew what a car dealer paid for a new car. You know, you had no way of knowing it. You just saw the sticker price, and that was pretty much it. You think that's changed?
That's right. It has changed. We've gone to that model when we've been around for 13 years doing this particular model. And again, it's like buying on a cost plus a margin basis. And from an industry point of view, so I've been doing cars for 30 years. And whenever I was buying cars as a professional for a client, and when I was dealing with my counterpart, it would always be, send me the invoice. In other words, the invoice that he gets invoiced from the manufacturer that would show the cost. And all we're talking about is profit. So we've simply extended that because obviously of the technology of the internet and instant access and the ability to people to gain access to the internet very quickly. We've extended that process to the consumer within our club environment.
Well, dealers must hate you. I mean, come on. I mean, you're letting the light in. You're unveiling all the things. I mean, when I used to go to a car dealer to buy a car, I mean, there would be the powwow, and he would take the price, and then he would go to his manager and discuss that, and come back.
That's a good point. You're taking all the fun out of it, all the underhandedness and the backdoor and backroom deals.
Well, not really. I mean, what's happening is that it's just the game is just a little different now. So in other words, you're now on a level playing ground with that with that dealer. Beforehand, you were at a disadvantage. You're right. They would, you know, that salesperson would take the deal into the sales manager. They would sit there and say, okay, go back and get more money and all that sort of thing. It was all nonsense, really, when you stop and think about it. But now you're empowered with that particular price report, and you can say, hey, listen, you know, how much of a profit do you want? So let's just get to it.
I mean, I remember that manager was always in a little glass office that was kind of above everybody, you know, and you could see him, and you'd be there behind the desk, and then the salesperson would have a small little cubicle or office, and he'd walk up and he'd go up the stairs with the big manager and you would see him, you know, talking to him, and he said, I'm going to go to bat for you. I'm going to push for you, and then he'd go, I'm going to take this to my manager. I mean, it was like a whole performance, you know.
And you make a talk yourself, dealer, no.
Yeah, what a great guy. He's going to battle for me. Look at he's to get my price, because, you know, I won't pay, I'll only pay this, and he'll come back. And then he would come back and says, well, okay, he's going to go to this. Yeah. So, right, it was a whole little dance that you did. And you're saying now with something like Car Cost Canada, they really can't do that anymore.
No, they can't, because, like I said, now you have the price report in front of you. You're buying the car the same way I've been doing it for over 30 years. When you have that price report, you're talking on a level playing ground with that dealer, and they say, listen, cost is 30 grand. I see that retail is 34. How much of a profit do you want? And remember, any seller loves the word profit. They hate the word discount, but they love the word profit. So that you're appealing to the profit venture that dealer is there for in the first place. So offer a profit. Don't ask for a discount.
Okay. All right. and this is still only in the Canadian area, or are you bringing this to other parts of the U.S. or what's going on with that?
No, America and the U.S. are far ahead of us as far as this is concerned. So there's a company called TrueCar. They're doing it the same way as we are, mm-hmm. where they show dealer pricing. They show average markups. Their website is very, very good. But there's also Edmunds.com, who also handles it this way. You know, even Costco in the United States also works on a profit plus a margin basis. So you're way, you know, the U.S. is way ahead of us as far as that's concerned. And it's all online, and it's all free in the United States.
Now, I think there was like Carfax, but Carfax is what, if you're buying a used car and you want to get the particulars about
the accident history report.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carfax is a great tool. It's more for use, well, any used car, whether it's 1 year old or 10 years old, mm-hmm. and it's really providing you the historical data on the vehicle. So who's been the owner of it, you know, even sometimes to the extent of how many oil changes it's had, license transfers, all that sort of thing. And yes, if there is a claim, or an accident claim, or a police report, it's also captured as well.
Interesting. How do they get that information? I mean, if my car was underwater for a day or something, or over into the lake, and I brought it out. Who knows? I mean, how do they find this stuff out?
Well, if you're right, if you decide to go for a swim with your car and come home and fix it in your backyard, no one's going to know. And you're right. So it's not going to show up on Carfax. But the moment you go down to your local garage and ask him to take out all the fish that are in the car, and if he's reporting data to Carfax, then it's recorded.
Yeah, fish in the car usually is a good indication of a flag. Yeah, there's fish in the car. Okay. All right. So So let's – we talked about Car Cost Canada, and so at least people have understanding. So the idea here tonight we're going to talk a little bit about is what you think the car dealership of the future might look like. And why don't we start off a little bit with and kind of get into that?
Sure. So, you know, typically speaking, you know, car lots are filled with their product. They're filled with salespeople and managers like we just spoke about, their service and all that sort of thing. But with online, I think the car dealer of the future is going to be more a place where their product is displayed. It's not going to be so much a selling process or a selling center. Right now, if you know, even I sometimes feel intimidated when I go into a dealership. You have 16 salesmen just waiting for you, so to speak.
Ready to pound?
So it can be intimidating.
Ready to pound? I know, but you know, but there's something about you know, there's still, when you're getting ready to buy a new car, there's something about, you know, going into the dealership and get to look at the cars and see the different models and then sit down with somebody and talk about the options that are available. And then to test drive the car. I mean, these are all part of some of the fun involved with you know, the anticipation of getting a new car. Is that still going to be there, or are we going to lose that?
No, that's actually going to be enhanced, or the anticipation is going to be enhanced. So it's going to be an actual center where they're going to be displaying their products, mm-hmm. not a selling place, but you're going to have people that are a lot more product suave, or they smarts. They'll be able to display exactly all the options, what they do, what they're designed for. It's not going to be a selling pressure area where you're talking to a salesperson that may not even know anything about that car. All he's interested is really is selling you something. In the dealership of the future, you're going to have a product specialist that's going to tell you about his product.
Well, it sounds to me like you're talking about what they're doing with Tesla. Isn't that what they did? They have it's a display area. You can't buy the car, but they have people who are trained and know that vehicle extremely well. I can show you all the options. I don't know if you can test drive one, but I know that they certainly have them on display. Are you saying that it's going to be something like that?
Not entirely, because obviously, you know, there's going to be an element of the population that's wanting to walk into that dealership and buy from a person. So unlike today, where you may have the, you know, 15 salespeople that are waiting to pounce on you, you may have one or two, and more so the product specialists, where, you know, they're wanting to display their products. And the dealership could be also in, you know, like I've been in the United States many times where I've seen them in shopping malls.
Yeah.
You've seen the satellite areas, you know, where, again, the manufacturers and the sellers, or the new car dealers, are wanting to display their products. The selling, the buying process can be quickly done on the internet, online, mm-hmm. by email, electronically, mobile devices, all that sort of thing, where today it's done the old-fashioned way.
So will the dealership of the future also include, you know, I mean, when you buy a new car, you get a certain amount of warranty service. And so would the dealership still have the service areas where I can bring the car in? I mean, is that going to stay in pretty much the same thing?
Yes, so that service area is definitely going to be still ever present. It may not be physically at the place where you've taken a look at that vehicle. So, for example, at the local shopping mall, they're not going to have a service facility. They'll have a service facility at their main building, so to speak, but not where you may have gone to actually see the product. I mean, I've seen some products displayed on, you know, third floor and the fifth floor of buildings, for mm-hmm. example. I mean, can you imagine in a downtown office building, in one floor where you can actually take a look at cars? There's over 20 or 30,000 people that are employed in downtown locations in one tower. Mm-hmm. So that'd be a novel idea. I mean, I've seen Ferrari and Rolls-Royce have display satellite in offices in downtown Toronto, for example. You can't buy there. You don't need to look.
Well, I know, and for example, in New York City and metropolitan areas, they'll have car dealerships in office buildings. They'll have the whole ground floor, and it'll be glassed in or something. You can go in and see the car. Although you can buy the car there, and I think many of them, I think especially in the more upscales, you know, the vehicle that you actually might be looking might be the vehicle that you're purchasing. Although, depending upon the car, I mean, if it's a Ferrari or Lamborghini, chances are that's not going to happen. You'll probably, you know, put an order in for one if you're getting something new, and that it may can take up to a year to get it. The car dealership? We went in one time to look at it, and he said, yeah, the order, it takes about a year, and we wanted to get a particular car and a color and that type of thing. And it took like a year to get that car, but again, it all depends on the dealership, and I think that's probably.
I would think it'd be more common. You know, whatever's on the lot is, you know, pretty much what we have, and we can order, you know, special order, but mostly it's what you see is what you get with traditional places.
Ben?
All the new car dealers can access all the inventory that's on the ground at all the dealers right across the country. So if you walk into your local Toyota dealer, for example, and you want a blue Camry, he doesn't have one. He can quickly look at the electronic inventory and see that his sister dealership across town has the blue one. Yeah. He can merely do what's called a dealer trade. He'll call up his counterpart over there and say, listen, I need that blue one. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a red one. And if it's called the old-fashioned horse trading, then he'll go get that blue one and he'll be able to deliver it to that customer.
Yeah. By the way, it was an Aston Martin we were looking at. And it took – it was a year just to order – you know, the powder blue or something. You know, you wanted something that was unusual. So they didn't have much of a lot there. You know, they don't have too many of those sitting around. So,
those specialty cars, Aston Martins, Lamborghinis, Ferraris, Maseratis, yeah. Those type of cars. It's definitely you sometimes even have to be invited to buy those cars. And yeah. You're right; it does take a long time to get one.
Yeah, and Mercedes too. I mean, I used to have a Mercedes. I know Ben has a Mercedes, but I used to have one, and it I still get those invitations. Oh, come be the new this, you know, and our lounge. They invite you to the place, or you can go online. They'll give you a link so you can look at things digitally as well. I mean, I know some dealerships now, you can actually – they have webcam set up so you can go and look at the dealership without actually having to go there to see if you see something you like. And but eventually, you know, it's still, I think, a lot of times boils down to, well, you want to kick the tires, you want to get behind the wheel, you want to try the car. And not only that, you sort of want to do it with the car that you're going to buy, too. I mean, if you're going to order a car, do you feel comfortable about ordering a car that you haven't driven or, you know, got a feel for, and you're just kind of taking on a blind faith?
I think consumers, generally speaking, or historically speaking, have wanted to test drive their cars and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I think they're going away from that. But as I mentioned, you know, going to see their product and buying their product can be very different in the future. Mm-hmm. As today, we both know that, you know, they want to go to a place where there's brick and mortar. They want to see that salesperson. They want to interact. They want to play that game. They want to test drive. And then after all that, then they get their car and drive away, and they're happy. Mm-hmm. In the future, I believe that that product knowledge or being familiar with that product can be done separate from the actual buying. Because once you've made a decision to buy, either you can buy there electronically or right in that person, mm-hmm. or if you already know that car, because there's lots of, for example, consumers that are buying a particular brand because they already know it, whether it's for their fleet, for companies. So, you know, they know they're going to buy, you know, for example, a Chevrolet product for their all their salespeople. So they don't have to test drive it. They just buy it. Just do it all online.
All right. Well, tell our listeners what they need to do if they want to buy a car online. I mean, are there certain caveats and certain things to look out for? What should people do?
Well, once they've become familiar with that product and they want to buy that product, the first thing, of course, I always say is to, you know, get a wholesale price report such as what Car Cost Canada offers or in the United States with TrueCarRents.com. That way you're being equipped, for example, with a price report. In many cases, you're going to have an electronic connection to that dealership. So you want to deal with not the, you know, floor personnel. You want to deal with either the fleet manager or you want to deal with what many dealerships are now starting up, which is the internet department. Mm-hmm. And that internet department is exactly, precisely wanting to deal with you on an online basis. So once you get that price report, you get that connection to the internet department, you can then negotiate on a, you know, you can ask, well, how much of a profit or how much of, what are they wanting to sell that vehicle for, or what's the online special? Because, again, it's very quick. It doesn't take up resources. You don't have to go to the dealership. You're not, taking the time of a salesperson, test driving, all that sort of thing. That internet guy basically wants to sell 100 cars that day, not 10 cars or 2 cars. So by being equipped with the price report and having that connection to that internet department of the dealership, it allows for a much smoother transaction, transparent as well, and you'll be able to get a good deal.
Okay. All right. So now tell us a little bit about the Car Cost Canada website, and how does it work, and how can listeners build the car online that they want to buy?
Sure. So we have one model as far as the build and price is concerned, because the configuring a vehicle can be very difficult at times, particularly the trucks, pickup trucks, because they have so many different options. So our build and price configurator is very consistent. So whether it's a Toyota product, a Ford product, a Chevy, you pick the year, you pick the model, you pick the options, and at the end of the day, you get a nice, concise price report. Rather than having to learn, Ford's build and price configurator or BMW's or, Toyota's, where you'll have to learn all the different caveats. So that's the one very good thing about a website like ours, and that you'll be able to learn one system. Two is that as you then get to the wholesale price, you'll be able to see the cost, you'll be able to determine the margin. And again, you can take a look at those incentives, because what's happening these days is that the way that car manufacturers are wanting to, shall we say, motivate consumers to buy their products is not by discounting their cars. In other words, last year was $35,000, this year is $32,000. Mm-hmm. They do it by incentives. So they'll offer $2,000 or $5,000. So our price report, you should take a close look at those incentives, because that's exactly how you'll be able to, gain the advantages of having those price reports. So when you have that information, you're equipped, and again, with a connection to the dealership on an internet basis, an online basis, it allows for a transparent and a stressless purchase experience, rather than, as my dad, when I remember still my dad, when he took me to buy his first car, he walks in with his hand, and he has his checkbook in his front pocket, because he was trying to demonstrate to the dealer that, hey, I'm a real serious buyer, and I'm going to haggle with you for the rest of the afternoon.
Right.
Well, that's all gone now.
Exactly. Do you miss the good old days?
Sometimes, because it you feel that you've come away with something. But, I'll tell you that, there's other things that you can be doing rather than sitting in a dealership all afternoon, and both for you and for them type of thing. Because, when you're walking in with a price report, if you're actually visiting the dealership, and because, sometimes our members will go to the dealership that they want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So you're walking in, and I've had many, even some of our members in small communities, such as in the Maritimes, where there may be only two or three dealers in the whole town, they walk in with that price report. They're telling the dealer that, hey, I'm a serious buyer. I've got costs. How much of a profit do you want? The guy may say $1,000. Okay, that's good. Done. Away they go.
Mm-hmm.
Less wear and tear on you, less wear and tear on them, and you can start enjoying your car.
Is it always that simple?
No, because there are some dealerships that are still using a dial-up a rotary dial phone. And they're the ones that don't adapt to very well to the consumer having costing information. Like I said, I'm a seller. I'm a dealer, and I'm a seller. And I can tell you that, it's music to my ears when someone comes into my showroom and says, hi, I'm here to buy a car today. How much of a profit do you want?
That means, they're prepared. They've done their homework.
That's precisely right.
How do you answer that? How much of a profit do you want to make?
I guess you can't just come back and say, as much as possible, sir.
Really?
There you go. You see how it throws the idea is, of course, the car cost is bringing sellers and consumers closer together. And I really think that this does that. As I mentioned, I it was an uphill battle. Don't get me wrong. It was an uphill battle with some of these dealers where they're used to you know, that old-fashioned way of, you know, trying to, shall we say, sell for more rather than for less. But at the end of the day, if they take a look at their average margin, it's not any more than what our members may be paying, only that it's done a lot quicker, and, of course, you'll be able to gain those incentives.
Do you think the dealership wants – obviously, they want to get as much money as they can for an individual car, but do you think the mentality is, well, we might not make as much money on a single car, but we're going to be selling a lot more cars for less money? I mean, you know, they always say, oh, we need to overturn our inventory because we're stacked up to the wall. You know, I mean, do you think that maybe a dealer liked the idea of selling more cars for not quite as much profit, but just selling more cars?
Yes. So I'll tell you another secret here. So what is happening in the marketplace these days, particularly among the domestic manufacturers and some of the imports that are wanting to gain numbers, they're going to a performance-based reward system, the dealership. And it's always been that way, by the way, and it's nothing new. There's lots of industries that reward for performance. However, it's become even more so. It's become more focused. So you're correct. The dealership wants to sell 1,000 cars, 2,000 cars, and if they meet those type of targets, the manufacturer will give them back X amount of dollars for each vehicle that they sell. So there's a great motivation to sell more. Of course, having more customers will also bring more what we call backdoor money. What I mean by that is when they sell extras, such as warranties, extra warranties or accessories, but also warranty work. So your service department starts to become much, much busier.
So you have more cars that you sold, so you're going to have more people coming in for the warranty services. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And there's more, you know, there's more circumstances of life. So whether, you know, someone starts a family, it's a bigger car or downsizing or, you know, accidents, transfers, all that sort of thing. So, you know, the more people you have out there driving your product, the more chance of selling more product as those vehicles get used.
All right. Ben and I are talking to Ben Spadafora. He's with Car Cost Canada. And he's the national director for Car Cost Canada. When we come back, Ben, some of the things I want to talk about is, you know, what should you be buying a 2014 car or should you wait for the 2015 models? You know,
how would I know?
Yeah, which is better? And are there?
Oh, the other Ben, my bad. We're good.
Which is better? And are there advantages to one over the other? You know, we'll get to that. And also, you know, when is the best time of the year or month to buy a new car? Is there such a thing as a best time of the year or month? You know, and are there certain car lingo things, industry, that a consumer should know? And also, what about trade-ins? You know, should you trade in your current car or should you sell it privately? These questions and more we'll address with Car Cost Canada when we come back. You're listening to the Computer America Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network, on the Boost Radio Network, on the IRN Radio Network. Car Cost Canada is a guest this hour. We'll be back. We have another news tip bulletin from Marty Winston. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Computer America Show, 34 minutes past the hour. And, you know, we are doing the segment here with Ben, and it's Car Cost Canada. And it's all the things that you wanted to ask about a dealership and car sales and things like that. And, you know, we kind of left off with, you know, should you buy the 2014 model or wait till the 2015 model? Because it seems like at least all the car commercials I see, they really, really, really hate this year's model and they can't wait to get next year's models. And it sounds like they're just going to throw them out the window or do something extreme with them if you don't come take them off their hands for a cheap price. So I mean, is it worth it to buy the cheaper 2014, or I mean, are you really not getting that much is it not worth as much inherently just because there are new models, you know, just on the other side?
So it all depends on, for example, if the model has actually changed. So is it a good time to buy a 2014 today as the 2015s are being introduced? So the answer can be yes for this one particular reason. So, for example, the Ford Escape changed designed a couple of years ago. So if you had been eyeing that Ford Escape, and this was going to be your last time to buy a new one in that model. So, and because the manufacturers were also bringing out the 2015s at the same time, they're providing incentives on those 2015s as well, because they want that car out in the road. So they're providing incentives. So it all depends on your circumstances in it, because if you've been waiting for the new model design, it's good to buy a new one. So, but you're right, the 2014s will have, you know, bigger incentives, because the manufacturers want to clear them out, and therefore it's a good time to buy at the end of the cycle as well.
All right. So now, is there a best time of the year or month to buy a new car, Ben?
Yes. Yeah, there definitely is. There's a number of times during the year that are very good. The dead of winter can be a very good time. The dead of summer can also be a very good time. End of the year, because what's happening is that everything is usually becoming, you know, to a close. There's financial reportings, all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. There's also a great activity going on, so manufacturers want to take advantage of those activity. But as far as the during the month is concerned, because remember, incentives do change from month to month, so that's another time that you should be, you know, cognizant of, is if the incentive is being, you know, goes from $2,000 up to $6,000, for example. So you have to be wary of that. But here's something that I really want to tell your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Do not wait end of the month. Okay? And that's what everyone wants to do. And guess what? The law of supply and demand will takes over. If I'm a seller and I have 15 people in my office on the last of the month, guess what?
The price
of those cars just went up.
Yeah.
But if you go around the 22nd, the 23rd, where it's kind of sleepy, I think you'll not only, you know, it'll be a little less stressful, but I also believe that you'll gain a better deal rather than rushing in at the very end of the month.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Hey, yeah, I think the logic behind the end of the month was, you know, the quota, or, you know, the incentive-based thing to get, you know, sell so many cars every month, and they were hoping that, you know, the sellers would kind of be in a rush to sell you a car rather than, you know, the buyers looking to hurry up and buy a car.
Yes, if it didn't have costing information, I agree with you. Then you're going to go in towards the last of the month on a rainy day just before close, all those sort of things. But when you have costing information and you have a direct connection to the internet department, you don't need to do that anymore.
Okay. All right. So, is there any kind of special car lingo that I should know when I go into, before I go into a dealership? You know, I mean.
Yeah. The first thing when you get there is, "Hi, I'm here to buy a car." that's music to somebody's ear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So other than that, you should know what MSRP means. Obviously, the manufacturer suggested retail price. That's the price they want me to pay, but that's the price I don't want to pay.
Uh-huh.
Does anybody
ever pay the MSRP?
Oh yes, yeah. You
Why?
Try and buy a Range Rover today.
Yeah.
Yeah, you try and buy a Range Rover today. You have to pay if you want one right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying a premium, so you can, that premium can be $5,000, sometimes $10,000. The new Corvette. You're not buying those for MSRP, you're paying a premium. And sometimes what will happen with those high demand cars, because remember, there's an international market as well.
Mm.
So we have, as we know, that there's countries that have very, you know, high affluence and you know, they'll come here. I have, you know, I can sell as many Range Rovers as I can get to Chinese customers.
Wow.
And they'll pay me $10,000 over the invoice the MSRP price. You know, Corvettes, people that want Corvettes today, they don't want to wait. They'll pay, you know, over the marketplace. There's many cases like that, not only today, but historically speaking, some of those products have been very, very difficult, or they want to be the first guy in the block to have them. So sometimes you are paying more than MSRP. You should use the word profit. You know, don't use the word, how much of a discount are you going to give me?
Yeah.
None.
How much of a profit do you want to make?
Yeah. How much of a profit do you make? So you're going to have a profit today. You're going to make some money today. That's why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the business and commerce is all about, making a profit. So I'm here to offer you profit.
How does a dealer answer that that question to a consumer without sounding like he's being greedy? I mean, how much of a profit do you want to make? What kind of answer should I expect from a dealer when I ask him that question?
Well, let's take in consideration that's the most of the bread and butter type cars, right? As opposed to some of the high end stuff, right?
Okay.
But you know, the most margins could be maybe 7 or 8%, for example, right? Okay. And most cars can be bought from 3 to 5% as far as a margin is concerned. So, as an astute seller, mm-hmm. you know, would say, how about 4%?
Is that reasonable?
Yes.
Okay.
That is really reasonable.
Okay.
You know?
So anything over 4%, then I'm starting to get I should feel I'm being shafted.
No, not shafted, because you know it's small dollars. But don't get me wrong. The idea is to be effective, and everyone's measure of a dollar is different, right? Where I've had clients that, you know, they've asked me, well, Ben, can you do better than this deal that they have? I says, yeah, I can. Well, they say, how much? Well, I can do $300. Oh, that's not enough. You know, they'd rather stay where they are, and that's fine. The idea is that you're informed and you can make a proper decision. But I've had other clients that have driven hours to save that $400 or $500.
Right.
You know, out of principle.
No.
There's other terms that you should obviously know is that, like, incentive. You should know incentives. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a real good buzzword, as particularly if it's on your price report.
Okay. All right. Well, the next question I should ask you: I've got a car. I'm going to buy a new one. Should I take it as it might? It's going to be a trade-in. Should I take that trade-in to the dealer, or should I sell my car privately?
Trade-ins is not a bad idea to trade them in, but this is what you should do before you get to the dealership. So, first of all, you should have pride of ownership. Don't go there with the sandwiches that you've left there that you've eaten 3 or 4 months ago. Doesn't matter how old the car is. Just, clean up. The second thing that you want to do is have a sense of value as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're trading in the, for $10,000, for example, know that they're trading for that kind of money. So, and one of the reasons for trading in, particularly in Ontario, we have a 13% sales tax. So when you're trading a vehicle in, you can shelter whatever the amount of that vehicle is, you can shelter it from sales tax on the buying on the new one. So, for example, if your car is valued or traded as $10,000 and you're buying something for $30,000,
mm-hmm.
you're only paying tax on the $20,000.
Right. That makes sense.
So it can make sense. You know, of course, if you're your car is, beaten up and all that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
It may not bring any value, and therefore – that's why you want to always have a sense of value as well as a pride of ownership.
All right, let's go to British Columbia. We have a caller, Computer America, Craig Crossman. Hello, caller. How can we help you?
Hi, this is Guthrie Prentice calling. I'm just curious, with regard to the Car Cost Canada, have there been any used Tesla cars coming out on the market yet? The reason I ask is because I and my father have been contemplating doing going shares on one of those new Tesla electric cars, but we're trying to find one used because the $100,000 price is a little bit beyond both of our price ranges at the moment.
I haven't seen any as far as used Teslas are concerned. I have a number of clients in like yourself that are waiting for them, but I haven't seen any yet.
I think it's
all right.
Too,
well, but
it's too new a car. I mean,
It's a new car, and I also think it's a problem because they also have like one of the highest satisfaction rates of any car. So it's hard for someone to really part with a car that they really really like.
Yeah, I kind of figured, but hey, I figured hope hope springs eternal, right? Anyway, to bother, but thanks again for letting me know.
Hey, thanks for calling, and keep listening to the show, okay? All right, 347-884-8881. I mean, he makes a good point. I mean, he's waiting for Tesla, but, it's a high-demand vehicle. I mean, it might as well be an Aston Martin. You know what I mean? It could get,
They have Teslas that have flipped over, caught on fire, hit a tree, blown up, and still the people who are driving it saying, that's the best car I've ever driven. I'm going to go buy another one.
So, Ben, any comments at all? I see you smiling there, but any comments?
Well, I mean, you know, specialty cars like that, you're exactly right. They don't circulate too well. They're held pretty tight. Even, you know, a lot of the, you know, Ferraris and Porsches and Jags and Aston Martins, Maseratis, you know, you don't see them on the used market. Nine times out of ten, there'll be someone that the original owner has a connection with that says, if you ever want to sell that car, I'll buy it for you. And I'm a perfect example. My doctor had a 1995 Porsche C4, a red over 10. There's only seven of them in the whole country. I told him if he ever wanted to sell it, and I did, and I bought it. So that car there, if you've been looking for a 95 C4, it never got into the public's hands. I was able to scoop it before anybody else got it.
Not to confess, you're actually driving it yourself now. That's your car.
That's my car, yeah.
Okay. 347-884-8881. I'll get down and get you through. So what about extras from a dealership? I mean, if I go to a dealer, I mean, and this is because I always wonder when I buy anything, you know, I go to an electronics store and I buy a TV. Oh, do you want the additional 3-year warranty? And you know, it's only like $99. And actually, I bought a 3-year warranty for one of our Samsung TVs, and like, wouldn't you know, like a week before the warranty expired, something the TV went bad, and I called them up, and they sent the guy out. He fixed it right in our home. The parts, and knew exactly what was wrong, and it was wonderful. The TV was restored. So sometimes it makes sense. But what about like the extended warranty and accessories from a dealership? Should it be purchased from the dealership?
My opinion on that is, of course, is that the accessories and warranties of the dealerships are a little on the expensive side. Mm-hmm. So here's two thoughts that you can do as far as that's concerned. One is don't be afraid to ask for a 10 or 15% discount, mm-hmm. as far as the price is concerned. And I would always say that you would buy an accessory at a dealership if it's unique to the dealership. Well, one thing that is a great example is trailer tow, for example. Mm-hmm. At the dealership, they're $650. You can get that aftermarket for $450 or $400. Mm-hmm. There are some items that, of course, that you can only get at the dealership, and therefore you're going to have to, if you want that product. There's some electronic things like the remote starts. Mm-hmm. Let the dealership install it, because invariably, when it doesn't work, you're just going to bring it back to them and say, fix it, as opposed to if you have it aftermarket. Because anything electronic, you know, you want the support of that dealership. Extended warranties is like insurance. If you're a heavy usage driving and you can't live with the idea of having to pay for repairs, then buy the extended warranty. Because unlike our TVs or, computers, which are usually going down in value, you know, cars are, you know, have 20,000 parts. And if you've ever bought a headlamp for a car at $375, or a power window motor at, you know, $350, mm-hmm. or a wheel that, you know, needs replacing at $700, there's tons and tons of parts on a car. So it's not bad to have that extended warranty if you're
now, all these extended warranties cover things like that? You'll buy this great warranty, and they'll say, yeah, but it only covers the powertrain, and, you know, and that, and you go, ah.
It's like, did you dent your bumper on a sidewalk or a telephone pole? Because we don't cover sidewalks. They're always a little caveats. Like, is there a way that you can make sure that the extended warranty you get is, you know, an actual good one?
All-encompassing.
Yes, and that's right. I mean, you want to buy a comprehensive warranty. Powertrains are already, you know, 60,000 miles, mm-hmm. are pretty standard as far as that. But you know what? Your engine never goes. It's always going to be those other things, mm-hmm. that are going to go.
The
so
fuel
you're
pump,
right.
Yeah.
You want that warranty that covers all that other stuff.
And you have to make sure that it does. You have to see it in writing. It says it covers all parts, labor. The labor is another thing. You got the labor, everything, the installation. Mm-hmm. And then also, some dealerships, they have like a red carpet service. If you have VIP, you know, they'll take you at any time. But the other one, you know, you have an extended warranty. Well, we can fit you in, you know, the third, you know, next month sometime, you know. You bought the extended warranty, but, you know, we don't want to, you know, you didn't buy the priority thing. And so your appointment takes like 3 weeks to make an appointment. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
I haven't heard too much of that VIP service. You know, most dealerships, I think, would be eager to take you in regardless. I mean, you have to think of it. Warranty work is good work for them because they get the charge of manufacture. So it's work. And that service manager, those, you know, although they may be busy, I think you'll get in a lot quicker than you think.
Okay. All right. So there. So now I do know that there's companies that, I mean, I know they have them. For the home, you know, you can warranty all your appliances and everything. And they have something like that for automobiles. It's a third party that will warranty your car for a certain flat fee or whatever it is. And are those of any value, or should I stick with the dealership warranties?
On new cars, manufacturer's warranties are what cover you. And you can buy extended warranties from the dealership, and that's usually the best because mm-hmm. you get to take it back to the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. Third-party warranties, particularly for used cars or when your manufacturer warranty expires and you want to take on the third party, they will send you to different independent shops for different problems. So if you have a transmission problem, they'll send you to a transmission specialist. Mm-hmm. If you have a, you know, coolant problem, they'll mm-hmm. send you to a coolant area. So the manufacturer's extended warranties are good because you go back to the manufacturer. They're the ones that built the car. They'll know more about it. And again, if you're going to have the extended warranty, it's best to go back to them.
And what about the parts that they put in? You'll hear horror stories about that. I went back to a dealer, but they put in a third party product, you know, and it wasn't, and it broke. I mean, do dealers still do that, or are dealers required to use manufactured replacement parts?
It depends on the component, you know, because, you know, for example, alternators, for example, when you get a rebuilt alternator, a refurbished alternator, it's just as good as a new one,
yeah.
Because it's a simple item. But when you get to, you know, more sophisticated problems or items, then yes, they'll order the new part from the manufacturer.
Yeah, for example, I brought my car into because I think we're pretty much out of warranty now. I was told the little computer in the, you know, all the cars today are mostly computers on wheels, and the computer that controlled the timing and the ignition, everything was going bad, and that took a long time to find out that it was the computer. I mean, we had all kinds of strange things, but finally found it was the computer. And then the guy said, well, we can get you the manufacturer one, you know, it was made by the or we can get you a third-party computer, and it's just as good, and it's a lot less money. Which would you like? So I said, well, let's go with the I said, is there a warranty on it? He says, absolutely. So the first one that he ordered, guess what? I got a phone call because I was expecting the car that day. He says, guess what? We put it in. It broke. It didn't work, which didn't inspire the confidence. You know, I said, really? He says, yeah, don't worry. He says, we're going to get another one. They're going to overnight it to us from the, you know. They put it in, and it's been running fine since. You know, and again, it's warrantied for a year, so as the manufacturer's one.
I just had the same experience with my son's truck, that car, and I got an aftermarket rack, steering rack, rather than paying, you know, four times the amount for a manufacturer one. So, depending on the age of the car, it makes a lot of sense at times to buy those remanufactured parts because there's a whole industry there.
Okay, so tell me a little bit. What is a wholesale car pricing report? What is that?
That's a report that, as I mentioned before, shows the manufacturer's suggested retail price, and it shows the dealer cost. So what the dealer pays the manufacturer for that car. So when you have that, you can see the economic relationship between what the full margin basically is. In addition, we have the incentives that are available on that vehicle. And again, as I mentioned before, some of those incentives are not advertised. Past model allowances, any trading dollars, all that sort of different terminology, but it really means is that they're providing incentives to the consumer to buy their products. And sometimes, like I said, sometimes they're not advertised. And we've seen $5,000 and $10,000 at times. Then there's also the finance and lease rates. And again, many times there's a dealer referral right on that price report. And again, it connects you to the dealership on an online basis to a decision maker, whether it's a fleet manager, a sales manager, or an internet manager. Mm-hmm. So when you have all that price report with all that information, you're on a level playing ground, and you get to make an informed decision with that dealership, and that transaction is seamless and in many cases transparent, and it allows for getting a better deal and a better experience.
All right. So now when I get medical insurance, I found that you can get this really good comprehensive medical insurance, but it doesn't include dentistry. You know, it's really, you know, for that's all, you know. And so when you buy a new car and you get the whole thing, it doesn't include the cost for disposal. Let's say does it include tires? You know, does it? Nope, tires different. I mean, what I mean, is that typical for the industry, or do they have things which covers the car top to bottom?
Yeah, so if you're speaking about the manufacturer's warranty, the comprehensive warranty, which is normally 360 or 480, covers the entire vehicle from, you know, tires, brakes, all the various components, internal engine, all that sort of thing. But it's from defects, of course, right?
Uh-huh.
And you can't run it into the pond and expect to have it under warranty.
Well, what about normal? So normal wear? I mean, let's say I take my car, you know, coast to coast, six times, you know, and I'm driving it, you know, I'm putting all the mileage on it, and the tires wear down. And I think, hey, they go to the dealer, my tires are getting bald. You know, I replace. No, does it cover that? Probably not.
No, because you'll take a look at your odometer and they'll see that it's 60,000 kilometers and it's 2 months old.
Right.
So, you know, that's wear and tear. However, if it's a premature tire wear, mm-hmm. or if the tire is separating, for example, the beads, or there's bulging on the side, and if there is no indication of any kind of collision or mistreatment, that sort of thing, you could have that under warranty.
Or car is out of alignment for some reason, you're driving and the tires start to wear unevenly. That will happen. That would be covered too. That alone.
Yes. Yeah. Again, as long as there's no evidence that you've been stunt driving.
Well, okay. Now, I mean, another consideration you asked is your vehicle big enough, and will it do the job for the size of your family? Is that a typical consideration?
Yeah, absolutely. It really, really is. And here's a safety issue, really. You know, if you bought a smaller car, for like a Corolla, for example, mm-hmm. and you know, when your kids were 2 years old, and now that they're 16 years old, and they, you know, they're both 6'3", and you're still trying to put them in that little car, consider that, you know, it's perhaps time to get yourself a slightly, you know, bigger car. You'll be more comfortable. And, of course, you'll be a lot more safer.
Yeah. Well, Ben, listen, I really appreciate you being here again. It was a lot of fun talking about this and the dealership of the future. Again, it's Car Cost Canada. If you go to our show notes page at computeramerica.com, you'll see today's show, July 10th, and you'll see we have a link to Car Cost Canada there that will stay up always. And check it out for yourself. Ben, I thank you so much for being with us here tonight.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for being here, for letting me be here, and it was a lot of fun too. Sorry, I messed that up.
No problem. All right, Ben. Take care. Have a good evening. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Bye bye. All right. So again, the Car Cost Canada, and you can check them out for yourself. And again, we have a link. We have links to the website, and you can see that for yourself.